Well, honestly, after Miss Augustine came up here, I feel like all I should do is an altar call. That was amazing. You need to come over to the union and speak one day. It's been a while since I've seen you guys, and yeah, a lot's happened. Got married, got a baby on the way. Last time I was here, you know, I was kind of, thank you. I was leaving it up to you guys. Somebody come up to me and let me know that there's a freshman 15 when you get married that you gain. I didn't realize that was going to happen, so I'm trying to find something that's not too tight to wear anymore. You ever had, I love being just transparent. No reason not to be. You ever had just one of those days where you come prepared for one thing and then you just felt like God shifting gears and you kind of deer in the headlight look on it? We're going to pray right now. How does that sound? Father, we just come to you right now. Holy Spirit, we ask you just have your way. Open our hearts. Open our minds. And let us receive. Amen. Originally, I was going to talk from John 15, verses 1 through 8. And it's something that we've been unpacking at the Union. But there's this one concept that I just haven't been able to get away from since Mark asked me to speak. And I was kind of going through it, sifting around, trying to figure out what best way to present it. And you just can't sometimes just land something. And that's where I was at. So as time went on, I just kind of shifted gears. I was like, oh, we'll just go here. I'll talk about this, been studying this, kind of have an idea. And this morning, coming in here, and that last song kind of confirmed in what I need to do versus what I want to do. All right? So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So go with me to Colossians chapter 3. And we are going to shoot from the hip. How does that sound? All right. I like it. Holy Spirit, come. We live in a day and age where everything's about passion. Right? Do what you're passionate about. Find your passion. Live your passion. What is your passion? Aren't these the questions that we get asked? This isn't the question the church asks, right? And you know what? I ask myself that a lot. Ovi, what are you passionate about? What do you want? What do you desire? A couple weeks ago, God began to move in my mind saying, I want you to begin to really think about that question. Ovi, what are you passionate about? What are your passions, your desires? And as I began thinking about it, I just felt this thing in my spirit just been say, I think we might, or I might, in sometimes the ways that I teach this, might be getting this wrong. Because what if we really should not be living by our passions? What if I told you, stop chasing after your passion? Would that put a red flag up? Would you shut me off? Would you put a wall up and be like, oh, this guy, where's he going? Or would you be willing to listen? The reason I ask this is because when we go through Scripture and you actually do a word study on the word passion, you're going to see more often than not it's used in a negative, not a positive. And I think a lot of times we, by the intent of our hearts, get up here and speak from a place or talk from a place or encourage people from a place to find their passion. But the problem is many of our passions are rooted in ourself. They aren't rooted in the things of God or the intentions of God. And I think it's time that we begin to take the word as a surgical knife and cut the two in half, in between, separate. What is your passion versus what is God's intent? What is God's desire versus your passion? I can't tell you how many times I've seen just in ministry, and I've lived this, I have done this. Out of my passions of wanting to share the gospel, spread the word, see God's movement happen in somebody's life, see somebody live to the fullest that they can live, because I was so passionate about it, I ended up getting very set in a certain way. I rebuked authority. I pushed against the Spirit at times because I was passionate about something. In fact, what would happen is I would shut down to outside wisdom. I would shut down to hearing somebody's words and thoughts and desires and guidance because you don't understand. I have a passion for this. You don't understand. I'm passionate about this idea, this Bible study, this teaching, this way of evangelism. I'm passionate about reaching the lost, and you're just trying to old wineskin. You're just shutting me down. You don't understand the vision that God has given me. I'm passionate about that vision. The more I've gone along in life, the more times that I've seen some of the wreckage that I left behind out of my passion, the more I begin to ask God, what does it mean to truly be passionate for the things of you? Not just the things that I want, the things I desire, but the things of you. So, as I begin to kind of break through this, the word, I love words. I love understanding the meaning of words, okay? Because I think that we can read something in English and we might have an idea of our culturally what it means. But if we get down to the Greek and the Hebrew, we're going to learn the intent that God means by it. In Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read through these scriptures and I want to break something apart with you. Says this, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. But now you also put them aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. In this section of Scripture, Paul's writing saying, put on the new self, the redeemed self, the song we just sang, right? Someone who has been bought and paid for, that we know that it is a personhood that can disconnect from how we are identified in the world to living identified in Christ. Now, by doing this, what we see is, and we're going to break this down real quick, if you have been raised up with Christ, so who in here believes in Jesus? Let's raise our hands. And if you don't, we're going to give an opportunity at the end of this, okay? Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Where are your eyes right now? Where are your eyes? One of the things we see over and over in Scripture that Jesus Himself says in Luke and in John, it's about seeking, knock, look for, and you will find. There are so many times I think in the Christian life we get so used to somebody feeding us that we don't go seek after it anymore. We get used to the ideas of what God will give us versus what we go looking for. But Scripture tells us over and over again, if you will search, you're going to find great treasure. When we live according to our own self, what we're living in, our own passions, our own wants, our own desires, we're kind of living in the idea of like, well, I want what can be given. I already have the things that I desire. So whatever looks like it's going to be opening up that fits my wants, that fits what I think, that's the route I'm going to go. But Scripture says when you seek, when you wait, when you look, what happens? Something changes. You can't stay in the same place when you're seeking for something, can you? Who's lost their keys? Who lost their keys today? All right, so what did you do? Did you stand in one spot and be like, keys? Are they in the microwave? Keys? Come, Keith. No, you don't. What do? You go looking for it, right? And whenever you look for it, something changes inside of you. Usually, it's kind of negative. You get a little antsy, a little anxious. You're like, oh, where did I put my keys? You hit them, didn't you? It's one of the new things I learned being married. just kidding. I love you, baby, if you're watching. When you seek, something changes. You change. Your expectations change. Your want changes. When I'm seeking for something, a lot of times, especially if say we're reading in the Word, or let's say that you're looking for something online, you kind of start gaining a lot of insight, don't you? Sometimes you find yourself going down rabbit holes that, oh, wow, I never thought about that. I never saw that. I never knew that. Seeking in the kingdom of God is the same way. What happens when we seek after the things of God? We are aligning with the heart of God. So seek. Verse 2, set your mind. Set your mind. The word for set your mind here in Greek means your will and affection. Set your will, your affection, my feelings, on the things above, not on the things of this earth. You know, I heard this in ministry school one time. This pastor used to say, feelings are the F word. And I used to push back on him on that until recently. I realized, wow, feelings really are such a negative. Because a lot of times when I feel something, it's my poor attempt of interpreting my emotions, right? So I have emotions, and emotions are good. My feelings, how I feel about something, though, is usually my interpretation of those emotions, which means what? It's a good chance it's wrong. When I feel a certain way about something, a lot of times it has my emotions that are, or sorry, let me rephrase that. It has my past and experience attached to it. So when Stone over here comes up to me and he tells me something, he's like, Ovi, I need you to go move your car, right? And I'm like, well, why do you have to be such a jerk saying it like that? You know, well, he's got a million things on his mind. He's not, trust me, he never told me to move my car either. But when he speaks to me and it triggers something inside of me because of his tone, his inflection, my feelings trigger. And so I'm trying to interpret an emotion that I have. Well, that emotion, though, comes out of maybe a past of a parent speaking down to me. He's not doing that. He's just talking to me because he has a million things he's got to do. He's trying to keep something flowing, keep something going. But yet, I'm interpreting, and I'm misinterpreting. But when I set my mind, my affections, when I set myself on the things above, I begin to interpret different. I don't interpret emotion out of just myself. I'm interpreting motion through the filter of God. So when we begin to set our minds not on how we know how to process, but on how God has told us to think. Paul talks about what? Renewing our minds. When I begin to renew my mind to think how God wants me to think about all the things of this world, all the experiences I have, and to realize that, you know what? I believe that God has done so much in me and loves me so much, I'm not going to be just driven by my feeling. I'm going to be driven by His Word. What does He say about my past? What does He say about you? What does He say about that broken thing that you've held on to so long trying to protect and trying to take care of and trying to nurture or trying to heal? And begin to trust and believe and set my mind on the fact that, you know what, Jesus, you took care of that on the cross. So I'm letting go of being defined by that thing. That failure, that guilt. What did you walk in here today feeling guilty of? Now, what does God say about it? And what are you going to set your mind to? How you feel about it, or what He says about it? Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. Above here in Greek means a higher place. Who goes to the parades around here? who goes to praise with children or has gone to praise with children. Now, who's put the child on your shoulders so that they can see? When a child isn't set above the crowd, their view is not that great. God wants to put you on His shoulders so that you're seeing above your current circumstances. That offer's there every single day. Over every single situation you face too. Well, Obi, how do I do that? Simple. You slow down and you say, God, I just got presented with this. How do you see it? What do I do? Verse 3. Why do we do this? For you have died, and your life is now hidden in Christ. The way and the reasons you're able to do this is because you were not defined by this earth anymore. You're not defined by your past. You're not defined by the things that have tried to identify you that are part of fallen nature. One of the coolest things about what Jesus did on the cross that we celebrated last week is that we believe that He conquered death. Right? We believe that He set things new. Right? And yes, Jesus has done that, but He also is doing that. Well, what do you mean? I mean, we still die. Right? He hasn't come back. So we know that, yes, that truth, He has done this and is doing it at the same time. It's one of the mysteries of God. So what does that mean for you? That means that you have been redeemed. You are a new creation, and you are becoming that new creation at the very same time. If you're painting a picture, drawing a picture, you in your mind, you know what you're trying to put on that paper, but guess what? You still have to do it, right? When you're writing a song, you know where you're wanting to go, but guess what? You still got to play it out. The same thing is taking place in your life. I want you to start believing who you are because God says you are that, but also give yourself enough grace and be humble because you are becoming that at the very same time. So stop living in guilt. Stop living in the one day when I die. No, right now. Because heaven comes on earth through your life. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Believe it. Believe who you are and believe who you are becoming. Because that is the mystery of God becoming reality in your world. Furthering His kingdom and His purpose. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. We're not going to raise hands, but we probably all might deal with one of these at least. The word passions here in the Greek means lust that dishonor those who indulge in them. But listen to this. The idea is that it's the soul's diseased condition that various lusts spring. It's a condition, not an action. Now, there's another word attached to this that makes it an action. But this isn't about being passions and being naughty, okay? This is about your soul's diseased condition. This is where I think we need to start being careful about how we communicate, follow your passion. Live your passion. Do your passion. Because many times we live it out of our own soul and out of our own understanding versus out of God's redemptive work. See, God's come in and says, I want you to live by spirit and truth, not by soul, your mind, will, and emotions and feeling. Okay, when I talk about live by your passion, what I'm saying is you know what? You go live the best that you can out of what you feel, what you perceive, and what you think. But God is encouraging us to start living our lives according to our mindsets connected with Him, what He sees, what He thinks, and what He wants to do. What did Jesus say over and over again? I only see what the Father is doing, and I do that. But yet, how do I live? I want to see what I think God is telling me, and Ovi wants to do that. I want to encourage you to begin to live a life that bridles your own passion and says, God, I now give it to you. What do you want? Filter it for me. Because what's happening is this, is that too many times I think we, by living by our passions, means that I still am the king or the queen of my own kingdom. I'm doing what I feel is best, what I think, and come hell or high water, we're going to try to make that happen. And many times, good things can come out of it, but there's a lot of casualties along the way. And I promise you, there are desires that God puts in your heart, but sometimes it's our passions that try to make that happen versus His ability. And as new selves, as new people, we're able to say, I recognize the me, and I give that to you so that I can do how you see me now. Because God created you. So those things that you want to see happen, those things that you desire, those things that you're excited about, those things are truly there. But there's your ability and then there's His ability. And as Christians, we're dying to our ability because we can only go so far. And we're saying, I'm giving it to your ability because your ability lasts an eternity. Everything in this world right now is wanting to leave a mark. Every person. That's what we mean by follow your passion. Do something that you feel like is going to leave a mark on this world. And as Christians, we should be able to say, so how you do that is you say, God, I give it to you, and I give you permission to have your way in my life. Not my will, but yours. You know, we read that when Jesus went into the garden and prayed, He asked, is there any other way? I wonder if He was up to His passion, His desire, if He would try to find another way at that moment. At that moment, okay? Being fully human, I think that's a possibility. But what did He do? He said, not my will, but yours. Not my desire, not my passion, but yours, Father. What is your passion? Because your passion changes the world forever. So God, I'm giving you the ability because there's only one being that is completely pure. There's only one being that understands the fullness of every situation in life, and that's the Father. And so with God Himself is stepping in saying, I have a purpose and plan. Release your desire. Release the things that you want, that out of your own soul, you can only do so much. You can only understand so much because we are connected to our own interpretation of life. So I want you to die to that. Plug into what I am giving you right now, which is the ability to see how I see, live how I live. Believe this, the desires that I have put inside of you will come to fulfillment. When you seek, I will open the door. You will find. And things will happen for your life according to my time. But will you be patient? Or will you live according to your own self? Verse 6. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. What does that mean? That means that this is that judgment comes when we live according to our own kingdom. I love the fact that as a good father, as a good parent, God allows things to get tight when I start doing it on my own. He allows it to get tighter and tighter until I say, okay, something's not working, something has to change. I give it to you. But the truth of the matter is this, is that when we do it out of our own self, we're living according to our own self, so we plug back into what's dead. When you're just living according to your passions, your drive, your wants, yourself, what you assume is right or wrong, how you feel or how you interpret those things, you're living according to the old nature, the old self. Set your mind to things above. You're more than that. I'm more than that. We're defined by more than that, so let's live that way. Verse 8, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice. So he adds to the list. In case you didn't fit the first, you know, section. What about these? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self and evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed. You are in process being renewed. How cool is that? This is the very thing we want, right? We want to be more than how we feel on the inside about ourselves. We are becoming that. You're being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Today, as we go throughout the rest of our day and click into our week, getting prepared to step into it, my encouragement to you is allow yourself to have a come to Jesus moment. Are you living according to your passion or His design? I know there's things you want to do. I know there's things you want to accomplish, things you want to be defined by. But what I encourage you to remember is you've already been defined. The work of God is already being accomplished. And if you will allow Him to align you, allow Him to define and say, you know what? You gave me these wants, these desires. If you will just give that into Him first, instead of living by your whim, your interpretation, I think the kingdom work that we will see happen will ignite a fire in the world around us. Because instead of it, really, the Christian life is not about what you do. Huh? No, really, it's not about what you do. It's about what He's doing through you. But don't I have to... No. If you will trust who He says you are, the things begin to line up. But I deal with anger. I deal with insecurity. Well, trust what He says about you, and you'll see an alignment begin to happen inside of you. One of the things I speak over and over and over again, I've done this in counseling and all kinds of situations, is that what does God say? And will you choose to believe it? Because everything else flows out of that. In John chapter 15 I was going to talk about, but it talks, Jesus is talking about the vine and the branches, but He says this one thing. He says, by my word, you've already been made clean. But yet I live as if I'm still dirty. I believe as if I'm still dirty. We go throughout our everyday living as if, well, I still have to deal with... No, you know what? You've overcome those things by the power of the cross. Now begin to change your thinking. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. Yeah, but okay, I understand. But what did we talk about the mystery of Christ was? Is that you are and you're becoming. So start believing you are. You have been healed in a situation of emotional brokenness. You have been healed in a place of financial restoration. You begin to see yourself as living according to the things and the will and the purpose of God. Oh, but I'm still having a hard time. I know, but if you start believing it, it'll start becoming. So start believing it about yourself. Start believing it over your family. Start believing it over your finances. Start believing it over your friends, over your desires. And then watch God make it happen in your life. Because you are a new creation. You are the new self. Put it on every single day. Renew your mind. Stay connected. Now, all of this is possible. To end with this, because I was told to, what was it, an hour, Tony, right? Get you guys in the restaurants first before anybody else. All of this is possible if we choose to abide. We choose to abide. I encourage you this week, You can read Colossians. That's good. But really, really go through and look at John 15, 1 through 8. There's an app called the Blue Letter Bible. Get it, Android and Apple. Or online. Blue Letter Bible. It's free. And you have access to Greek and Hebrew. You can click on it, click on a verse, and it goes through and it says, and you can begin to see what each true meaning of the word, the intentions of the heart of the communicator are. But the word abide in this section of Scripture means to remain, dwell, endure, last, and persevere. And there are times in our walk with God that we have to remain, meaning don't move. Stay. We have to last, meaning we have to go through the storm. We have to persevere, meaning guess what? There's trials. All of this definition of this word is all connected to pruning, all connected to change, all connected to God designing in you, growing in you, maturing you to be the person He sees you as. But it starts with a mindset. It starts with saying, I choose not to live according to my own passions, but according to your design. Not what I interpret and what I feel, but I set my mind to things higher, to things about you. So come, Lord Jesus, in my life and make this a reality. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you come and begin to move over every person here or every person watching, that your truth, Father, your word over our lives become what moves us, what makes us, and what frees us. I pray, Father, that we begin to live according to the word that has already cleansed us and is cleansing us. That, God, we are not just locked in by our own passions, our own conditions of life, trying to make things happen or interpret our futures and our wants of life. But instead, God, instead we watch as new creatures, new humans, as the image that you have set before us becomes the reality, because the desires you have placed are possible in you, through you, and by you. We can rest because you're invested in us and you want to see it happen. Any person in here today, God, I ask that is dealing with the list of don'ts in Colossians 3, I pray that you affirm in them that when they seek you, they will find you. When they knock to you, you will open. And that they can start believing in what you say, not just what they feel. In the name of Jesus, I release the image of God over every single person in this place, that you will not be able to escape today or this week the reality of how He sees you in the name of Jesus. May this be sealed by the cross, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking time to tune in and listen to the message today through Freedom Online. We would love the opportunity to meet you personally anytime that you're in our area. But if today you heard something that really connected, or that maybe you've got questions about, you'd like to talk with somebody or have someone pray with you, we'd love to hear back from you. You can reach us in a couple of different ways. You'll find on the website a contacts link. You can contact me or any member of our leadership directly. or you can call us at the number that you see on the website or at the bottom of the screen now. Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope that you have a great week.